views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? Yes, I did. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome to the podcast, the Club ADHD podcast. Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-prong approach. We've got the podcast, we've got Club ADHD, the Facebook page, and Club ADHD, the Twitter account. For more information and to links to all of those, go to clubadhd.ca. Club ADHD is supported and presented by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC, that's C-A-D-D-A-C. They have their annual conference coming up in Toronto in just, I'm recording this on Thursday, October the 17th, so their conference will take place in a couple of days. If you're listening to this and you're a last-minute type of a person and you want to go to the conference in Toronto, check out the details on their website. That's CADDAC.ca, CADAC.ca. Plus, there's lots of information on there on how you can better yourself, how you can be a better flag waver when it comes to awareness and ADHD, all that good stuff. And it doesn't matter where you are in this great big world of ours, because as I had mentioned before, we have lots of listeners spread out around the globe. Even though we're broadcasting from Canada, we are worldwide, which has a nice ring to it. So, how are you these days? If the answer is just peachy keen. Do people still say that? Well, good for you. I'll give you a round of applause. And if you're not so peachy keen, if you're down in the dumps, hey, we all can relate. I know. I've been going through some challenging times. And ironically, you know, I just got so depressed and then came out of it and decided that, well, if anyone's going to make a difference, it's got to be me first, right? I don't want to be pitied. But I came out of it, and it's like something clicked. That depressed side just clicked off, or I just went ahead. Now, I don't know if it's something that my brain is doing automatically. Maybe it's done that to you. Not my brain, but your brain. But it's amazing. I still fall within, you know, when something challenging hits, and yes, I'm still being faced with challenges, and it's been a real rough ride these past few months. However, you know, I'll get depressed, and my brain will start overworking and just, ugh. But then it clears up, and I've never really had this happen before. I don't know what it is. Is it just a mechanism in our brain that says, okay, that's enough. If you overload too much, you're gone. I don't know. I'm just sitting back and watching the ride as I go along. And if you're experiencing the same thing, well, you're not alone. I've never knew this to be happening to someone like that, especially to me. So I can't explain it. I just make do with the best I've got and keep going on and don't give up. And that's the thing with this switch being activated, that years ago, if I got really depressed, I would just, you know, just curl up for a while, for days. And I'm not going to say that I haven't felt that way over the past few months, because all of the crap that's been coming our way, and it seems to be unrelenting. However, you know, I have this feeling, this settling, I don't know, that just clicked on and said, okay, we've got that. We can't do anything about that. Let's do something towards things we can do to make life better. I don't know. Can't explain it. Don't know. But as I said, I'm going along for the ride. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, we've got a very interesting show coming up for you today, because we are about to launch a brand new portion, a brand new feature on Club ADHD, the podcast, which I feel will be pretty cool and informative. And we'll be featuring this feature, that's why we call it a feature, each and every podcast. So that means we have a new member on the Club ADHD team. I'll tell you more about that in a few moments. Plus, we'll be going across the pond for our interview. We've done it before, and we are going to do it again. We're going to do it in a few moments. Got a really good interview coming up. So that's what's in store for us, for you, me, and everyone listening in when it comes to Club ADHD, the podcast. And we're gathering steam slowly but surely. Please tell friends if you like the podcast. I still get notes from people saying that in some cases it's changing their lives because they've dealt with their ADHD, maybe for a long time, maybe briefly, but they've discovered this podcast and Club ADHD, and it just solidifies the fact that they are not alone, and that's what it's all about, right? That's why we put this together. That's why I had a vision and finally put it into place. Took me 10 years, but it happened. That I'm convinced that we have to be the ones to make the changes. The changes in ourselves, the changes in society. And I am also convinced that no one knows more about ADHD than us, as far as what it's like. They can read books, they can do research, they can do all this stuff, and they can learn a lot about it. But unless you are ADHD, an ADHDer, as I like to refer to it as, you really don't know the whole story. You can't. You got to live it. And a lot of people are living it, and they're living it in silence, in pain, some in pleasure. They're using their benefits that ADHD brings to us. And yes, there are some good things when it comes to ADHD. And that's what I'd like to see happen, that we are able to utilize our benefits for us and for other people. In order for that to happen, other people have to be aware of what those benefits are so they can benefit from it. And everyone can benefit. One big benefit. Boy, am I getting on the soapbox here now. So that's what it's all about. Now, I mentioned about this new feature. It's coming up, and let me think. Yeah, let's do it now. Our brand new feature on Club ADHD, the podcast. But before I make it official and hit the sound effect, I just got to give you a little bit of a background what this feature is all about. We talked to a person who is the main, well, he's our coach. We do have now our resident ADHD coach in Club ADHD. And yes, that person, this person, does have ADHD himself, so he can speak from experience. And he's familiar with the podcast, and you might be familiar with him too, because if you are a listener of the podcast, a faithful listener, never miss a podcast, you might have heard him not once but twice on the podcast. Jason Froetz. He's a coach. He has ADHD. He's a life coach. And I know people throw that around, but it's true. When dealing with us, he specializes in ADHD. Yeah, you're affecting our life, and we need help. We can't do it alone. I have made that discovery, and it took me a while, but we can't. We have to band together. And he helps. He helps individuals. He helps corporate people, the whole gamut. I thought, wouldn't it be great if he can help us during each podcast? And that's what he's about to do. As we now unveil the brand new feature called TNT. Otherwise known as Tips and Tricks, with our resident Club ADHD coach, Jason Froetz. And he's going to give us a tip on how we can better organize our day. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
I'm looking forward to kicking this off. What do you have for us?
Honestly, the first thing that came to mind was something I call a reset.
Okay.
It's something that's more situational. You could apply it to a number of different things, work or play. I use it specifically for work. I could give you this example. I call it my bag reset, or my I've got a knapsack that I take to work. And in that backpack, everything's got a place. So my car keys, my sunglasses, my water bottle, medication, whatever I need for the day is in that bag. So what I do is I make sure that once a day I do my bag reset. And so my reset would basically make sure that I fill all those spots, all those places that have a home in my bag. I make sure that before the sun sets, that bag is ready to go for the next day. So that can be really helpful when we're scrambling at the last minute to go to the door and it's like, oh, where are my car keys? Or where are my sunglasses? Where's my water bottle? oh, it's all in my bag, and my bag was loaded last night. So I just go inside, grab my bag, throw it in the car, and off I go. And I have to say, over the years, it's reduced a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. So I think for, you know, those who are listening, you know, make it yours. Make a reset for anything that you feel you might be scrambling for at the last minute. You can make a reset your school bag, your briefcase going to work. You could make it even a reset for your kitchen, you know, making sure the kitchen's, you know, nice and clean, everything's away before you start cooking the next day. The key trick to this is making sure, of course, that you do it, even when it feels inconvenient and you might be tired. So if you can set a rule for yourself that, you know, by a certain time, I try to make it daily, that reset has been made, you're going to relieve a lot of stress going forward. So I hope that helps. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But again, make it yours. You
it
know?
Sounds good. I automatically think of the Scout motto, be prepared. So reset and be prepared, maybe the night before or whatever. Just do it when you have lots of time. There's nothing worse than scrambling at the last minute. You're bound to forget something.
That's a great point, Russ. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you've got the time to do it, if you're sitting idle saying, I'm not sure what I should be doing right now, think of your resets and go to them and make them work for you.
Thank you very much, Jason. Jason Froetz, our resident ADHD coach right here at Club ADHD. And that was our very first edition of TNT, Tips and Tricks. And we'll have more for you in the upcoming podcast. And now let's go on to the interview portion of the podcast. Sometimes when it comes to looking for people to interview, and as I've mentioned before, about 90-95% of the people we talk with during the interview portions of the podcast have ADHD, because I strongly feel, as I had mentioned, that nobody knows more about ADHD than we ADHDers. So having someone on as a guest, well, it's a logical move. Now, sometimes I tend to look around and say, okay, who can I talk to? Where's the resource? And lo and behold, the resource for interesting people is right here at Club ADHD. And that's what I did. And it's not the first time I've done it, and I'll continue to do it. I went this time to our Twitter page, and I noticed people who are members of Club ADHD making interesting comments and observations. And I noticed this person. Her name is Abby Sylvester. She lives in London, England, and she has ADHD. She's known about having her ADHD for a few years now. She's a freelance writer. She's done a lot of things. She's done fairly well scholastically, but sometimes, you know, like we all face, oh, he or she could do much better. That seems to be the ongoing comment. And Abby has faced that as well. She's also an ADHD advocate. She's involved in, surprise, surprise, a podcast. The podcast is called ADHD And. Now, I'll give you the complete link on where you can go to listen to that podcast after our chat. So without further ado, let's find out more about Abby's story. I started off the interview by asking Abby, when did you find out that you have ADHD?
I've got two answers to that question, really.
Okay.
First, when I was, I'd say, probably in my first sort of serious job after university, I had a chat with a psychologist who worked. It was for a magazine publishing firm I was working for at the time. Uh-huh. And I was talking to him about how I couldn't really focus, not just small things, but I didn't really know what I wanted from my career, because everything I could do sort of, I felt it was going to cancel out all the other things that I might want to do. And I just couldn't settle on one thing. And he said, oh, that sounds like ADD, as it was called then.
Right.
And I'd never heard of this. So I didn't really look into it that much at the time. It kind of bothered me a bit, because I guess I thought he was diagnosing me with something that he didn't necessarily know about. But as soon as I did look into it, it did start to make a lot of sense. And the more I read about it, the more I kind of realized he probably had a point. So I think it's about 10 years later, I finally went to get a formal diagnosis.
Okay.
And that was, I think, prompted by problems I'd been having at my job at the time, which was bit different from what I'm doing now. It was office based and kind of quite, you know, a bit more sort of management level stuff going on. I was just really struggling with it. And my boss at the time was sort of saying, you know, what's wrong? Why is it you can't do these things when you're obviously capable? And yeah, I thought, well, that's, I think I need to do something about it now. So I did. And I was quite lucky with the treatment that I got, you know, because obviously over here on the NHS, there's quite a wait normally for seeing a specialist. And I waited about 9 months, which was actually really, really good compared with most people I know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just a case of getting on the waiting list and then getting the diagnosis.
I'm sure some of our listeners, when you said that, when you first were, well, approached with the concept of ADD or ADHD, would think, much like what I thought when you first said it, we're often told by other people who say, oh, you must have ADD, or that sounds ADD, yeah. But they're doing it in a flippant way. They're saying, yeah, they're not really acknowledging the ADD or ADHD. They're just saying, hey, you're really being absent-minded and whatever. But it sounds as if that after you thought about it, that maybe that person was truly sincere.
I think he definitely was. And, you know, he did know a bit about it. And to be fair, you know, he was right. But I think, yeah, it just came up in a very casual sort of way. Uh-huh. And I didn't want at that time to be given a label, I guess, as well. So I sort of just resisted it and didn't really take it seriously. But then after that, I had like a string of other jobs that didn't really go anywhere. And the same problem kept coming up again and again. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it did make sense.
Well, that's very astute, because a lot of us go through life several years. I'm not talking just five. I'm talking decades, thinking that, well, it's everybody else. I'm okay. I'm normal. It's everybody else that. And then finally, we come to the realization that, hey, history doesn't lie. Maybe it's me. But you found out early compared to some people.
Yeah, relatively. Yeah. I think it was lucky, really, that it was mentioned to me when it was.
So after the diagnosis, what happens?
Well, I started on medication fairly soon after that, which I found mostly to be really helpful. I've met a load of people through the sort of ADHD community over here, which has been fantastic. And yeah, it's now a big sort of focus of what I'm hoping to do, I guess, in a career sense. So obviously I've mentioned the podcast that I'm doing, and I've spoken at quite a few events. And yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in it at the moment, and that's great. It's really good to see that.
Do you find that the interest is mostly within the ADHD community, or do people who hear about it, are they interested in knowing more about it? I know here in North America, sometimes we're afraid to say about ADHD because of the negative labels that are associated with that term. What's it like in London or in England?
Well, I think there's still not a great level of understanding. Really, I was just saying to a friend yesterday, actually, it's when you're sort of immersed in that community, it's quite easy to forget that people outside it don't really have a great understanding of it at all. And whenever I speak to friends who I've known for years, they don't really get it on the whole. And they do sort of have the stereotype in their minds that it's mainly a children's condition and all of this other stuff. So I think there's still quite a way to go, but it's definitely getting more interest. There's one organization I work with called the Future is ND, and they are doing some really great work going into businesses and talking about neurodiversity as a whole. And The founder, Lucy Hobbs, has ADHD herself, so she obviously talks about that and how it's affected her in her career. And she works in advertising as well, actually. So, yeah, there's definitely interest when you go in and talk to people about it. But
I was just talking to somebody about advertising and going into an advertising agency that the most average person would never do. But if you go to some of the more successful ones, It's suited for someone with ADHD. The whole environment is creativity, and it's not as, well, it's structured in a sense, but there's some free-flowing ideas happening, and it's really conducive to coming up with ideas.
Yeah, I agree. And lots of people I've met from within that industry seem to have won sort of neurodiversity or other. So yeah, I think it is a good environment for it. I think it can also be quite a bad environment in that it's quite easy to get sort of overwhelmed and very hyper focused on stuff in that world, and I think you can quite easily burn out because there aren't many boundaries, I suppose. I've worked for a few agencies myself. I did a stint doing social media for a big one in London, and it was great, but I was kind of pretty exhausted. There was it was pretty relentless, you know. I was just working all the time.
Well, that's the dangerous thing, isn't it? I mean, because if there's no structure, we thrive on being unstructured, but still we have to have that structure.
But we need it. Yeah, I completely agree.
So the burnout, I can imagine too, because there's a lot of pressure when it comes to advertising because it's push, 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 push. And it might seem like, oh, this is a fun atmosphere. But when you really dig down deep, the pressure is there as well.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened after that little burnout and knowing about your ADHD, where did you go from there?
So that was before my diagnosis, unfortunately. Okay. So although I suspected it, I didn't really believe that that was a problem. So what did I do after that? I went on to some other roles that were similar, and I did a lot of short contracts. And then I didn't really pursue them after that, although they were quite exciting roles and I enjoyed them at the time. Every time I kind of felt, you know, that I needed a bit of a break and I wanted to get something more permanent after that. So that was when I went on to my most recent sort of in-house job in marketing. Right. And again, there were some aspects of that I really loved, but other bits of it, I just couldn't get my head around. And I think that was why my boss at the time just found it strange. And I ended up going and seeking the diagnosis.
In hindsight, knowing now that you have ADHD and knowing, researching the so-called disorder, what do you think that perhaps your bosses could have done differently to enhance your experience to the point that you didn't burn out, or is that possible?
I think there's definitely things they could have done or maybe just been a little bit more understanding of. For example, I always used to make loads and loads of notes in meetings, and I've been in workplaces where that was considered really weird, and there was always a suspicion that, you know, I was not listening to what was happening or doing something else. And just, I suppose, not knowing that why I was doing that, something as simple as that can kind of create a problem that doesn't need to be there. So there were loads of other examples, but just stuff like that. If they could have maybe understood it a bit better, I'm sure we could have had some, you know, adjustments in place.
That's a good point, because you're doing something that is good for you and your overall, you know, job. And it might be different from the other people, but they seem to be hyper-focused. What's this person up to? And they're so hyper-focused on you, on you doing your note thing, that maybe they're unfocused on their own job. We're known for doing things different, right?
Totally.
So as far as your life goes, Did the diagnosis, did it change things? Did regret come in, or were you optimistic, or how do you feel now?
Well, I suppose it was definitely positive overall. There was some regret maybe that when I look back at times where I was really struggling, that people didn't know what was going on at school as well. I ultimately did very well at school, but I went through periods where I just wasn't achieving. And yeah, as part of the process, I took in some of my school reports. I don't know if you went through that as well, but they asked me to sort of find evidence of where I'd had this problem as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty upsetting, really, to see some of the things that were written and knowing why, you know, they just couldn't understand why I was not sort of cooperating and not, you know, fulfilling my potential or whatever.
Well, yeah, that's a common thread, though, Abby. You said, do I or did I? Yeah, and I'm a kid of the 60s that we all have heard it, or maybe our parents have heard it, that, oh, he or she could do, they're doing okay, but they could do so much better if they only focused.
If
in the situation being, you know, if you want to be the truth to be told, is that, hey, if you provided an environment that was more conducive to us, maybe we would do better. So how are you viewed by, say, your family? Did you make an announcement, or did you casually say something, or?
I sort of spoke to them all individually, and yeah, they were pretty understanding of it. While I was having the actual diagnosis, I think they did kind of struggle with it a bit more, because at that point maybe they didn't really know what it was. And I suppose parents especially always worry about what they could have done differently. And if you don't understand a condition like ADHD, you're going to assume that it's something that you've done wrong. And I think they went through a bit of that. But yeah, now they're absolutely fine with it. They've all been pretty supportive and helped with the digging out of school reports as well.
Sure. Now, that said, do you see it in your parents at all?
Yeah. My mother especially, I have to say. She's very similar to me in this respect. She's done all sorts of things that I could put down to ADHD. She's missed flights, you know, I think it might have been a flight to the US, actually, she missed, which is quite a big deal, you know.
She just forgot about it?
She didn't forget, but she didn't quite get the logistics right, you know, everything that she needed to get her to the airport in time. And
the details, they can come back to bite us.
Exactly.
Have you ever, dare say, asked her or said, have you thought about maybe looking into this a little more? Or is she just kind of just fluffing it off?
No, she agrees with me that she definitely has these traits. I don't think she really wants or feels she needs to do anything about it. But no, she definitely relates a lot to the stuff that I've pointed her towards. And when I've explained a bit more about it, I think she has a track history of kind of getting very, very interested in stuff and starting new projects and then abandoning them.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was the most telling sign for me.
Sure. Now, that said, have you found yourself being really hyped up about something and then all of a sudden, poof?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story of my life.
That's why I have four different jobs,
I'd say. I've always got so many different projects going on. But yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, we know how to come up with these ideas. And I guess it would be best if we had someone next to us, which is easier said than done, who could fulfill those ideas or maybe continue with them while we continue with our creating ideas.
Yeah, definitely. It's this whole idea of complementary skills, isn't it? You need to get the right mix of skills. And if you did have somebody who could put that stuff into action for you, that would be ideal, I think. When that happens, it's you know, you can do really great things.
Yeah, and especially when you talk about advertising or a creative type of a career, a lot of people who maybe own these companies, if some of them would realize, or even some of the more staid companies who are doing things the way they've always been done, if they could only see the real attributes that we ADHDers have, that they could incorporate it in their own business. And yeah, if it meant that we come up with ideas, so be it. I mean, to me, they're losing a fantastic asset, namely us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a real problem with underemployment generally for ADHDers and a lot of talent that's just being wasted, really. And I think when you're so used to feeling that you can't do things right, it's easy to not value your skills, I guess.
Yeah, and
it's definitely really important to look into that. And as you say, to try and get employers to recognize what we do have to offer.
Do you find that you sometimes beat yourself up when it comes to that? Or maybe you tend to not look at what you are capable of doing? Maybe in a negative, you're not a great cheerleader of your own self?
Yeah, I think I'm better than I used to be. The diagnosis is one thing that's definitely helped with that. But yeah, for such a long time, I felt that it was a fault with me. And it's quite hard to sort of unlearn that thought process.
So how did you unlearn it? You mentioned it as far as the diagnosis. The more you know about ADHD, has that helped you?
Yeah. First in the sense that there's less self-blame when you know what it is and that it's not something that you're, doing deliberately. And also understanding the way that, just reading up on it and knowing how you can sort of hacks you can do, I guess, to improve your way of working. And the more you know about it, then the more there is you can do to...
In the perfect world, you say that you're involved with advertising and getting the word out, maybe for products or people or whomever. What would you do in the perfect world if you had the resources to get people to know more about ADHD? Where do you think it's lacking?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm constantly really shocked and amazed at how little understanding there is, not only among people, friends of mine and family, but also professionals as well, doctors and GPs who you need to go and see in order to get a diagnosis, can be very, very, not clued up on it at all. So I think we need to kind of be speaking to those people to just get a better idea of what ADHD looks like, what it looks like in different people, and how it can sort of present as other conditions maybe. Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing I would focus on. Maybe if there were more characters in TV and fiction that had ADHD and could talk about it in a positive way, because it does come up occasionally, but it tends to be really negative storylines. I think there was an episode of, I don't know, whichever soap it was over here, EastEnders perhaps, where there was a character who was, I think they were abusing medication or something, and it was just really, stereotypical kind of reading of it. So that might be another way to make it a bit more understood and a bit less kind of one-dimensional.
That's the strange thing about ADHD. We have this medication that a normal person who might want to get more focused will grab off the street and abuse. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the stuff that really helps us, the public looks at it in a negative light because of the abuse going on by people who don't have ADHD. And all of a sudden, they find out that we're taking that medication and all hell breaks loose. You're doing that. It's meant to help us. But the average person is abusing us. We can't win.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, really. It's, yeah, I don't know what you can do about that,
I don't
but.
know. As far as what it's like in the UK, do you
Yeah.
come across people who know or think they know about ADHD, or as they put it, ADD, and then they make the comment, "Oh, that's just smoke and mirrors. It really doesn't exist." Have you in the UK ever faced that type of mentality? It can be a common situation here in North America.
Yeah, that definitely exists. And I think probably to the same extent, maybe even more, because I think it's less understood on the whole over here. There's certainly way fewer people diagnosed. And yeah, I've heard that. I've
Yeah.
heard a lot of skepticism about it.
That's the strange thing. I find that some people who are the doubters, ironically, they actually have it. I've seen that a couple of times, that they're
Denial.
so, yeah, the denial aspect. Well, I can't have that. I don't want to be termed as that. And some people view, when I was first diagnosed, some people spelt ADHD CRAZY. Crazy. You're out. Notice I said Zed. I'm an American, but I said Zed. I didn't say Z. A round of applause there. Yeah. So, have you ever encountered something like that? That, oh, this person is just bonkers, crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always say if you don't sort of have your own label, other people will label you,
Oh,
which is
okay.
another
Yeah.
good thing about having a diagnosis,
Very
which
good.
is at least a bit more neutral. I mean, firstly, yeah, I've had people make some quite rude comments.
Yeah.
Not knowing about ADHD, though, just not understanding why I might do something differently. So yeah, I think a lot of people will come up with their own terms for it.
Yeah. What about friends? Do you have any long-term friends that you've had for many, many years, or do you go through them like a lot of us do, a year or two, and then bam, it's all of a sudden, where did that go?
Yeah, I think I probably have. Yeah, that's something I do recognize. Similar to getting excited about projects and then abandoning them. There's certainly quite a few people on my Facebook that I haven't seen for years and years, or can't even remember who they are. So yeah.
So, where do you see yourself, say, in 5 years from now, knowing what you know, and what are your hopes and dreams?
Well, I would like to make this part of my work, and I don't really know at the moment exactly what sort of path I'm following, but I which is pretty
Yeah.
typical. But yeah, that's a tough question. I've got to say, I mean, I've never been good with that question. I
Yeah.
think, but just because I know myself, and I know that 5 years ago I wouldn't have known where I'd be today. And I don't know. I guess I'm just following what's interesting at the moment and seeing where it leads.
You're going with the wind. Now, here's a touchy question, because I was asked this several years ago. Well, actually, I wasn't asked. I mentioned it. The word hope. For many of us who are older, who maybe have been diagnosed at a later age, the word hope is something that's unattainable almost. It's like hopeless. Do you have hope in your life, or do you just are resigned to the fact that, oh, I'm never going to make it?
No, I definitely have. I do have hope.
That's good.
I
Round of
hope
applause for that.
I have. But I think when you're used to stuff not working out and not knowing why, it's easy to get disheartened.
Right.
But once you've got a handle on why that is, you can make things happen.
What would you say to somebody who's listening right now and are struggling with that little extra present that sometimes comes along with ADHD? I'm talking about depression.
Well, I think you need to work out how much of the other issues you've got are being caused by the ADHD, because it can affect pretty much every aspect of your life. So I'd say once you've got that under control, once you've got strategies in place that can help you with the ADHD, that should have an impact on all the other issues. It's not always going to solve everything, obviously, but I think it's a good starting point to look at where you think it might be holding you back and what you could do differently, and also what you should maybe stop kind of beating yourself up about, what you should just accept that you're not going to be great at. Then you can focus more on things that you are actually equipped to do and that you're talented in. So yeah, I think I'd look first at how it's affecting your life as a whole.
Good point there, Abby. I especially like the fact that the acceptance that many of us try to be something or somebody that we aren't, that we're looking to fulfill, somebody else's thought about us, that maybe our garage or our lawn isn't quite as pristine as the neighbor's. But when it comes to ideas, maybe your neighbor couldn't come up with ideas that you can come up with. Acceptance. Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah, and you need to focus on those things. And I think it's fairly typical of ADHDers. I certainly spent a lot of time sort of focusing more on stuff that I wasn't naturally good at because I felt that I should be. And yeah, I'd recommend that people don't do that because you're just going to make yourself unhappy, really, and it's a waste of energy. So yeah, focus on the things you're good at and find somebody who can help you with the stuff that doesn't come so naturally.
It's kind of like putting your hand in a burning flame and wondering why you're getting burned.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Well, Abby, I'd like to thank you for, I'm going to give you another round of applause for taking the time to speak with us. And I say us because we are a community. You belong to it with our Twitter and Club ADHD. We're all about promoting ourselves because, let's face it, if we don't do it, who else will?
Completely agree. And thank you very much for having me.
And once again, thanks to Abby Sylvester for her time and willingness to join us here on Club ADHD, the podcast. And oh yeah, before I forget, I mentioned about the podcast she's involved in. There's a team of people that are involved in this podcast. It's called ADHD and ... just like ADHD and more. Now here's the address, the web address that you can punch into your web browser and it'll bring up the podcast. It's ADHDandUK.podbean.com. Once again, that's ADHDandUK.podbean.com. Well, that's just about it for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. Many thanks going out to Kodak for their support. And don't forget, we have that new feature that was launched today, and it will continue in every podcast we have from now till infinity. I hope it will anyway. And just in case you're wondering, hey, you've got a podcast being distributed less than 2 weeks in the last one. Well, yeah, we're still in catch-up mode. What else is new? We're trying to catch up and we're moving forward, folks. And also, don't forget, Club ADHD is all about us, right? We're helping each other. We're banding together. Let's make the group larger. If you like what you hear, if you like what you see, tell people about it. Even drop me a line if you want at clubadhd.ca. The link is there. And if you want to tell people about this, go ahead. Especially those with ADHD. Because the more we grow, the better it is for all of us. Membership is free. How's that for an incentive? Oh boy, my sales cap is on a little too tight. On that note, time to wrap things up. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying as I always do when I end the podcast. Whenever, wherever you can, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.